Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur begins Maseches Kinim, found on Daf Chof Beis. Maseches Kinim is a masechta that has no Gemara commentary, no Gemara along with it. It's just three prokim of Mishnayos. As a result, the emphasis that we have placed up till now with Gemara markings on the structure and the marking of the Gemara will be relevant only insofar as we are dealing with Mishnayos. Kinim is a word referring to birds, more specifically bird sacrifices, and a standard bird sacrifice is brought in pairs. If a person is obligated to bring a bird sacrifice, that's called a choiva, an obligatory bird sacrifice. It will come in the form of two birds. One of them is brought as an ola offering, and one is brought as a chatos offering. If one brings a voluntary bird offering, so the pair of birds would be a kain, a pair of ola offerings. A singular bird is called a preda. The Masechta deals, after giving some, we'll call introductory information regarding bird offerings, the Masechta deals primarily with confusion that results as a result of the mixing up of birds. There is a great deal of emphasis placed on different types of calculations and considerations regarding issues of doubt. Because there is confusion, so what am I expected to do? Or how am I expected to rectify the situation? These calculations involve a great deal of detail, which will go beyond the purview of our Gemara markings audio shiurim. We therefore recommend for those who are interested in a more thorough understanding of Maseches Kinim to have available the appropriate commentaries, a Mishnayos commentary that covers the topic thoroughly. And there are some wonderful works on the market, both in Hebrew and in English. Let us now begin Maseches Kinim. Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. Chatos Ha'oif Nases Lematon. A bird sin offering is done on the lower half of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach has a halfway mark that's denoted by the Chut HaSikra, a red line that is drawn around the entire circumference of the Mizbeach. The Chatos Of was processed by being slaughtered while the Kohen, who does the Malika, the slaughtering of the bird sin offering, he does it on the ground, and the application of the Chatos Of blood is done on the side of the Mizbeach below the halfway mark. The chatos behema lemalon. In contrast, an animal sin offering is processed on the upper half of the mizbeach. In other words, the blood applications of the chatos behema are done on the corners of the mizbeach, on the upper half. Oilas ha'oif nasis lemalon. In contrast to a chatos ha'oif, an olas ha'oif, a bird ola offering, is done on the top of the Mizbeach. The Oilas Behema Lematon. And the Behema, the animal Ola offering, is done on the bottom half. The Imshina Bozeh Puzzle. Changes in any of the sacrifices that we mentioned, doing an upper below or a lower above, would render it unfit. Seder Kinim Kahu. the approach, the literally the order of bird offerings is as follows. What we mean by the order will be self-explanatory. Hachoiva, an obligatory bird offering, is a pair of birds, echad chatos v'echad oila. One would be a sin offering, and the other an ola offering. We should point out that a bird sin offering is processed by having its blood applied to the side of the mezbeach. There's a sprinkling process and then a squeezing out process, after which the Kohen eats the bird offering. There is nothing more other than the blood that goes to the Mizbeach when it comes to a Chatos Ha'oif. The Olas Ha'oif, on the other hand, is after its blood is squeezed out on the side of the Mizbeach, the bird is, with the exception of the innards, the bird is placed completely in the fire. Benedorim ubenedavos, bird offerings that come as vows and voluntary offerings, kulon oilois, they are an ola. In other words, the two birds that comprise the pair of bird offerings that we call an olas nedava are two ola offerings. In the realm of animals, when a person speaks about a voluntary offering, a vow, it could include something like a korban shlomim. In the realm of birds, vows form are brought only as ola offerings. Ezehu neder, what is meant by the term neder? And later on this line, you can see what is meant by nedava. There are two expressions. So what is a neder? Ha'omer, one who says hare, olai, ola. One who accepts upon himself the obligation to bring an ola offering. It's an obligation that a person accepts upon himself responsibility. And this will be pointed out later in the Mishnah. The Ezo Nedava, what is meant by a Nedava offering? Omer, one who says, Hare Zu Ola. It's a specification of a bird to be brought as an Ola offering. Ma bein nedorim l'nedavos. What's the legal difference between these two categories? Elo shehanedorim, in the case of a neder, mesu o nignavu, if the sacrifice, in this case the birds that one had in mind to bring, died or were stolen, chayov bachrison, he has to make good on it. He has accepted upon himself a guarantee to bring it. So he bears responsibility. That's chayav bachrison. He bears personal responsibility to bring it. Nedavos, in the case of a nedava type offering, mesu o nignavu, if the bird dies or is stolen, and as we said, nedava, Mishnah said, that's a case where you specify a bird in your vow. Say, I want to bring these birds, specific birds, and if they die or are stolen, ein chayov bachrison. So he doesn't bear personal obligation or responsibility, and therefore he is no longer he is not expected to make good on his nedava. We now turn to Amud Beis, Kinim Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis. Chatos shinis arva ba'oila, a sin offering that got mixed up with an ola offering. The ola shinis arva b'chatos, or the other way around, an ola offering got mixed up with chatos offering. Generally speaking, in many examples in the Gemara, you find when the Mishnah makes reference to A getting mixed up in B, the second item is the majority. So that in this case, the opening of the Mishnah spoke about a chatos, a singular or a minority of chatos getting mixed up in a majority of ola birds, or an ola bird or a minority of ola birds gets mixed up in a majority of chatos birds. Afil echod beribo, even if it's one that gets mixed up in 10,000. Yomusu kulam. they are all to die. In other words, as we saw earlier in Mishnah Aleph, that if you process a chatos as an ol or an ol as a chatos, it's unfit. If a Kohen was to come to ask about this situation, what should I do? Hey, you know, I have these bird offerings and one chatos got mixed up in 1,000 ola birds. We would tell him, Yamusu kulam, set them all aside to die. You can't process them because any one bird that you take, if, let us say, the majority were olas, well, any one bird that you may take might be a chatos, and you would be doing the chatos as an ola, and that would be improper. So that they are all set aside to die. We should point out, before going further, that in the realm of bird offerings, there are only two kinds of birds that are kosher as sacrifices. When we use the term kosher, we mean acceptable. This is in distinction to the realm of birds that one is allowed to eat. As far as kosher-type birds for eating, that's a much greater realm. But as far as sacrificial birds, two kinds of birds, and we mention their names without translating. They're torim, or in the singular, tor. That's tof, vav, resh. And the other kind are called b'nei yona. We continue in the Mishnah. Chatos shenisarva b'choiva. If a chatos bird offering got mixed up with a pair of birds that are obligatory. A pair of birds that are obligatory, one is an ola and one is a chatos. So what I have now is three birds. One chatos bird that got mixed up with two birds forming a cane of chova. Ein kosher elo keminyan chatos shebechova. If all of these birds were processed, we would say that the only thing that will be kosher will be the number of sin offering birds that are found in the pair that are obligatory. An additional example would be if a chatos ha'of got mixed up with two kinim, two pairs of obligatory birds belonging to the same owner. So you would have there, the two kinim constitutes four birds, four individual birds. Two of those four, are to be processed as chatos, and the other two of them are to be processed of olos. But now that one chatos got mixed in, I have five birds. In effect, one of the five is a specified korban chatos. We didn't mention this before, but it's a very important point. When we speak about a pair of obligatory birds, and we have to add that they are undefined as far as which bird is going to be the chatos and which bird is going to be the ola. Those are called stumos, and they are defined either at the point that one buys the birds and he labels them that this bird is an ola and this one is to be a chatos, or it is at the time that the Kohen processes the birds. So the situation we have right now in the recent example was you have one specified chatos bird getting mixed up in a group of two kinim or four unspecified birds, but I do know that two of those four are chatos and two of them are to be olos. The Mishnah tells us that the birds, when processed, you will have a fulfillment only of two chatos, because it's inevitable that when you have five birds and you were to, let us say, process them, let us say he took two of the birds and slaughtered and had them applied below the midway line and two above, we can say that in this group of five birds, four of whom are undefined, when processing two below the line, there is definitely two kosher chatos. If the two come from the undefined birds that were obligatory, so upon their processing, they are now defined as chatos. If one of those two was the chatos bird that got mixed in, so that's also okay. But the two above the line, that we cannot say are kosher, because one of them might be the chatos bird that got mixed in. And doing three below the line also will not be acceptable, because the woman who is obligated to bring a chova offering, those three birds might come from, they might be three of her four birds that she was to bring. And when a woman is obligated to bring two kinim that are obligatory, the maximum number of chatos that are there are two, not three. So if you do three of those five birds below the midway line, the three might have been not all of them destined to be chatos. They might have been three of the four obligatory birds and not the one they got mixed in. So the Mishnah tells us that in a case like this, where you have a chatos shenisar v'bechova, the Mishnah says, Ein kosher elo keminyan chatos shebechova. The only birds that will be kosher in the offering will be according to the number of chatos that were part of the obligated birds. V'chein, now the same exact example in the flip-around situation, V'chein oylo shenisar v'bechova. If you had, let us say, two kinei chova, two obligatory pairs of birds, of four birds a woman or an owner was supposed to bring, and one ola got mixed in for a total of five birds, ein kosher ela keminyan oylo shebechova. The only ones that will be kosher will be according to the number of ola birds in the obligatory sacrifices. Bein shechova mruba unedava mu'etes, whether the chova was the meruba, was the majority, and the nedava being in the minority, bein shanedava mruba v'chova mu'etes, or the chova, the minority, and the nedava being the majority, bein shishtehen shavos, or whether they are both equal. The rule that we said will apply, that the only kosher birds in this mix-up situation will be according to the number of the obligatory birds in the kinei chova. So that if you have a case of, let us say, where nedava meruba and chova mu'etes, if you have a kain a chova, that's a pair of obligatory birds, and that kain got mixed up with four ola birds, which were nedavas, we will say that what is acceptable here is only according to the number of olos that are in the obligatory birds. We now continue with Mishnah Gimel. Bamedvom amurim, bechova ubenedava. Avo bechova shenisarvu bzu bzu. Up until now, we were talking about the mix-up of a bird offering that's a nedava, a cane of nedava, as we mentioned, was made of two olos. One cane of nedava is two olos. That got mixed up with a chova, obligatory bird offerings. However, if you're dealing with groups of or pairs of chova offerings that got mixed up one with the other, some examples: achas lezu, v'achas lezu. One woman had her obligatory birds, and another woman had her obligatory birds, and they got mixed up. Shtayim lezu, shtayim lezu. Two per woman. V'sholosh lezu, v'sholosh lezu. Three per woman. And then these birds got mixed up. Mechza kosher, u'mechza posel. So in describing a case of mechza kosher, mechts apostle, let us say you have two women, we'll call them Rachel and Leah. Rachel had an obligation of bringing two birds, a chatas and ola, and Leah, a chatas and ola. So you have a total of four birds now, and as we said earlier, the definition of the birds takes place when the Kohen processes the birds. So we say of the four birds, the Kohen will be able to process only two of the birds, one above and one below, one constituting the chatos and the other constituting an ola. However, and by the way, and if we say that, so either way, that's what we call mimonafshach, those two birds will be kosher, one as an ola and one as a chatos. However, to let us say, do of the four birds to process two of them as an ola, that won't be acceptable, because the two of the four birds that he picks out, they might be two belonging to one woman. And one woman, when you're dealing with chova, does not bring two olos. So you can't expect, by processing two of them as olos, to have them both definitively kosher. However, processing one of the four as an ola and one of the four as a chatos, whether the two birds that he just processed belong to one woman, that's fine, or each bird belonged to a separate woman, that's also fine, because each woman happens to have an ola obligation and a chatos obligation. The Mishnah continues with more examples of mix-ups. Achas lezu, shtayim lezu, v'sholosh lezu, v'esher lezu, u'meya lezu. If you have a mix-up of obligatory bird offerings belonging to a number of different women, one woman having an obligation of bringing one, another woman having an obligation of bringing two, another three, another ten, and another woman 100 bird offerings, 100 pairs of birds, hamuot kosher. We look at the least number and say that according to the least number of the woman having the least number of birds, that will be kosher, because then we can say definitively that that's the, we'll call the lowest common denominator, number-wise, that she, the least, and all the other women would be obligated in. However, to do more than that which is represented by the least number, you might be doing all of the birds that you're processing, if it's more than the least number, that all of those birds belong to one woman, and she is not obligated in that greater number. The Mishnah goes on to say, Bein Mishem Echad, Bein Mishnei Shemois. These are terms that will be explained in the next Mishnah. So we say, Bein Mishem Echad, Bein Mishnei Shemos, Bein Me Isho Achas, Ubein Mishtei Noshim. The rules of mix-up that we said apply in all of these cases. We now continue with Mishnah Dalet, where this last phrase, the last point of Mishnah Gimel, will be explained. So now, Mishnah Dalet. Ketzad Mishem Echad. What is meant by a mix-up where the pairs of birds are Shem Echad? Well, it would be a case of one woman, Leida V'Leida. She happened to have two births. She gave birth to two children. To two children on different occasions. She became obligated in bringing separate bird offerings. So you'll have this woman obligated to bring two kinim, or four birds. Ziva v'ziva. That is Mishem Echad. Ziva is a flow, a bodily flow of blood from a woman. Without getting into any of the details, what constitutes a ziva, which is distinct from nida, a ziva flow, if there are 3 days of blood flow, one after the other, three successive days of blood flow, she is obligated to bring a sacrifice. And here we're talking about the bird offerings. So if she had two separate ziva experiences, and she became obligated to bring four birds, and they all got mixed up one with the other. So then the rule that we said above applies. Mishnei Shemos. What is an example of Shnei Shemos? You might have a woman, a singular woman, that experienced Leida Viziva. So she's obligated to bring a bird offering for the Leida and a bird offering for the Ziva. Ketzad Mishtei Noshim. What is an example of two women, Alzu Leida, the Alzu Leida. Rachel had experienced childbirth and Leah childbirth. Alzu Ziva, the Alzu Ziva. Mishem Echad. That is an example of Shem Echad. Two women, but each woman had the same type of obligation, for each one had a Ziva experience. Mishnei Shemos. What would be an example of two women and Shnei Shemos? Alzu Leida ve'alzu Ziva. If Rachel had experienced childbirth and Leah experienced Ziva, and they each one brought their bird offerings, their obligatory bird offerings, to a Kohen, and the mix-up took place as we described earlier. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Shtei Noshim Shelokhu Es Kinehem Be'eruv. If two women bought their bird offerings jointly. Oy shenosnu demei kineim lekohen, or they gave the money for the purchase of bird offerings to the kohen. Le'eze shiyutze kohen yakriv chatos. Le'eze shiyutze kohen yakriv oyla. In these cases, the Kohen has the obligation of offering whichever bird he wants as a chatos for whichever woman, and for whichever woman he wants to offer the ola, he offers it as an ola. Bein Mishem Echad, Bein Mishnei Shemos. Whether it be a case of designation for same reasons for bringing, or for two separate reasons that they may have brought the birds. The point being is that the Kohen has the option of establishing which bird is going to serve as what, which kind of korban, and for which owner. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.